When we look good, he looks good. Mm-hmm. When I look downtrodden, beat, poor, naked, sick, how am I going to convince anybody else that God wants better for them?
Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Today, Kenneth Copeland and Frederick Price share an inspiring message on God's desire to prosper you. Learn the reason for His prosperity and how wealth allows us to work together with Him.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Friday's edition of the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kenneth Copeland. You're really going to be glad you tuned in today because Brother Fred Price is here with us again today. But we're dealing with something today that is just so rich, and you need to hear it. Father, we thank you for this broadcast today, and we give you the praise and the honor for every word and every deed in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise amen. The Lord. Amen. Brother Fred, you before you ever really get any concept and insight into God's view of prosperity and material things and why they're here in the first place. He didn't create these things for himself, and he sure didn't create them for the devil. He created them for his people.
Absolutely.
Now, you know, we as human beings have a hard time staying in the middle of the road. We're jumping the ditch on one side and the ditch on the other side. Now, in order to get any kind of concept of this, you have to get into what we've been into all this week about why God needs us to prosper. He needs us well. He said go into all the world. Well, you can't do it and be sick, and you can't do it broke, and you need to be well and strong and so forth, because we are his channels. There's only one source, but there's a lot of channels, and we're it. But now you can get over into that and get the idea that, well, you know, I'm supposed to bless, and that's wonderful, and that's what I'm going to do with all the material things that I get. But now, you know, I don't really think that I ought to have any. Well, why not?
Yeah, why not?
I mean, what, and you can, if you get hung up in that, then you never will walk in abundance. That's right. Because Satan will see to it that you stay in lack. You stay in lack, you ain't got any abundance with which to bless people. So let's get over into that other side of that. I noticed this, that the problem is in loving things, not in having things.
Right, exactly.
And you have to watch your mouth, too. Well, man, I sure do love my car. Now, you love God. You enjoy your car.
There it is.
And it's we say, well, that's just being nitpicky. Well, you got to be nitpicky if you're going to get trained. And we need to be retrained in this, because God is making another move to a higher place right now in all of these things, and we need to be there. But now, I know, just watching your life and your ministering to us for the last 35 years, I've noticed some very, you've helped me in these areas. So get us into this thing today on our own personal possessions and what God had in mind for this and why we're supposed to be blessed.
Well, we've already talked about the fact primary, and we always have to deal with primaries, is though that we can be workers together with Him. And each one of us is a worker together with Him, but He doesn't need any poor workers, because the job that's been assigned to us, the church, is to encompass the world, and it's going to take resources to do that. But now, what happens, because most Christians, I know, like myself, when I first started out, I mean, I came out of poverty.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I was po, not poor, but po, going somewhere to happen. And all life was about trying to survive. And when I came into the knowledge of the Word, really came into the knowledge, I was a Christian for 17 years before I found out I could prosper. I just thought this thing that was going on was the norm. I thought this was the will of God, the will of the Lord. Yeah. You're struggling because, after all, it's going to be over there on the other side. And it's amazing how you can get caught up in that and not even realize, well, now, how is that going to work? What's going to happen to all these people that are here that don't know the Word and will never know the Word if somebody doesn't reach them? And I can't just leave my family and go out and reach folk and preach the gospel and let my family go down the tubes, because, after all, the family was the first institution that God instituted in the beginning.
Right. Yeah.
So family means something to Him. So I got my first congregation is my household. That's my first. Those are my first parishioners, my wife and my children. If it's not working in there, how am I going to sell it to anybody out there? So I've got to prosper also myself, along with being a channel, a conduit through which Father can work to seek and save that which is lost. But the Scripture shows me God wants me to prosper too for my own personal benefit, but not me first. First things first. I'm second in line, and I don't mind, because the benefits are so wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So let's look at a couple of scriptures that I think will help believers to see that it's not just about out there, but it also encompasses in here, if you would. It's just keeping the focus where it ought to be. Don't get caught up in the things. Get caught up in seeking to save that which is lost. And the things will take care of themselves, and Father doesn't mind you having them, because really, the more we have, not in the sense of going out looking for things overtly, but when we look good, He looks good.
Mm-hmm.
When I look downtrodden, beat, poor, naked, sick, how am I going to convince anybody else that God wants better for them?
And you don't need to be embarrassed about it either.
No way. All right, Matthew 6, very familiar passage of Scripture, but so many miss this. It's so rich. Jesus again is speaking. I hope those listeners have noticed that 99%, other than when we were looking at Old Testament scriptures, we looked at what Jesus said.
What He said about it.
We're talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
You can't say, well, Copeland and Price, I disagree with them. Yeah, you may disagree with Price, but what about disagreeing with Christ? You know, that's the issue.
Yeah.
And we're just reading what He said. Watch this. Very familiar. Verse 33, Matthew 6, 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, meaning His way of doing things, and all these things, not spirituals, shall be added to you, not subtracted from you. But notice the prerequisite, seek first. You never, ever use the word first except to distinguish between either second, third, fourth, fifth, etc. Didn't say seek only the kingdom, it says seek it first. Because only when you seek it first will you know how to handle second, third, fourth, and fifth.
Well, that's strong.
Without letting it handle you. You got to keep things in their proper perspective.
Now, that what you just described there is a way of thinking.
Exactly.
That's
right.
Not just something that's just part of something. It's the way of. It's the way you're supposed to think.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a mindset.
Yeah.
It's a mindset. Seek first.
Oh, that's
the kingdom.
That's wonderful.
Not seek only. Seek first.
Seek it first.
Once I seek that first, then I can seek second, third, and fourth, and I will know how to handle it rather than it handling me. Like in this financial crisis that's going on worldwide and the stock market going down and all that, and these crazy people, they lost a couple of $1 million. Fool, kill themselves.
Mm.
See, the thing had him.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have the thing. The thing had him. Mm-hmm. How you kill yourself over some money? You can get some more money. You can't get no more life.
The stock market wasn't any good when you started all of that, man.
It's all a gamble.
Yeah.
Might as well play roulette, in essence. So He said, seek first. Seek it. Seek it first, the kingdom. Not only, but first. So that tells me, okay, there's got to be something else in this where I come in. Because you don't, as I said before, you don't use the designation first unless to distinguish from at least second.
Mm-hmm.
But if I do first things first, I can handle second, third, fourth, or fifth without it handling me. Because we see it all the time. People get things, and the things end up controlling them.
Mm-hmm.
And their lives go down the tubes as a result of it. We, as children of God, we shouldn't be in that boat. We should be able to handle the things.
Absolutely.
Not them handle us. So I believe that God wants me to prosper. And, of course, so that I can seek the kingdom first. But then at the same time, he didn't give me, the devil didn't put in me the liking for certain kinds of things in life. And he did not give people the craftsmanship ability to create things that are attractive to us, that look good to us. Just like colors, for instance. I mean, he could have made us with black and white vision. I can still see. I some of the best programs I like on TV are the old black and whites. Mm-hmm. I see every single thing that's going on. Why did he give us the capacity to distinguish colors, to be able to appreciate colors? Why did he make 40 million flowers? Why did he just make one flower? I mean, 9,000 different varieties of trees.
And it wasn't on account of him. He certainly didn't. He's doing all right like he was.
Here it is.
Except his will and desire was to have a family.
To have a family.
His will and desire was to bless that family.
That's it.
And so if it's his will and desire to bless that family, then the family ought to have sense enough to get blessed.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's look at Psalm 35. Psalm 35. Seek first the kingdom.
Psalm 35. Praise God.
All right. Now, verse 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant.
Oh, my goodness.
He has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. So I ask the question, what's the opposite of pleasure? Displeasure.
Yeah, sure.
What's the opposite of prosperity? Poverty. So if the Lord has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant, then he must have displeasure in the poverty,
of his servant. Have to be for it.
And then here is the icing on the cake. He says he has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. That means he has pleasure when the gardener prospers, when the upstairs and downstairs maids prosper, when the chauffeur prospers. But guess what? We're not servants. We're children.
We're children.
Blood bought, blood washed. If he has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant, he must just get ecstatic over the prosperity of his children.
Absolutely.
So that tells me God is not
opposed to prosperity. That's the abundance that Jesus
absolutely
came to produce.
That's what he said. That's it.
Oh, my goodness.
And I want my Father to be pleased, so I think I better prosper.
Absolutely, because the Word says that he perfectly pleased the Father. So he came to please him. That's God right. Sent him. Why? Because he loved the world.
He loved the world.
Oh, my goodness. Outstanding. You know, Fred, I remember when I was a boy, it was just the common thought, just the way everybody thought back in those days, that if you had wealth, if you had anything, you didn't let it show.
Exactly.
Oh, no. You're supposed to look poor even if you weren't.
That's exactly right.
And my dad worked for a man, and he bragged about this, he'd tell you, I mean, he's proud of it, you know, that he could come to work on Monday morning and have whatever it was, back in those days, a dime was actually worth a little something. Be like, say, a couple of dollars today. Yeah. He'd say, I can come to work Monday morning and have a couple of dollars in my pocket. And Friday night at quitting time, I still got the same couple of dollars in my pocket. And I thought, when I heard that, I just, little boy, I thought, he's crazy. Well, it ain't no good for anything. Well, he's just wearing his pocket out. Mm. When I was 10 years old, I had better sense than that. But then, you know, over period of years, you let stuff like that work into your thinking. There's nowhere in this Bible that could line up with God's way of thinking. No
way.
Now, God didn't intend for you to take what you have and become high-minded about it. That's a different thing entirely.
Not be high-minded. Nor trust in uncertain riches. Didn't say not to have it. Said just don't trust them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you see what happens with the financial situation. People that trusted in the money, blowing their brains out.
Yeah. If you trust it, then you have grief when you lose it.
That's it.
And grief is the thing that caused people in deep depression to kill themselves.
Kill themselves, all kind of crazy stuff.
Now, where do we go from here, Fred? We've settled these things in our mind and thinking. Our next step has to be faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And we've heard the Word of God all this week. And faith is the result, but now what do we do with it? I mean, I'm sensing where God's going with this broadcast this coming week. And now that I've got faith, what do I do with it in where it comes to these things?
Yeah.
How do I release it?
Well, one thing for sure, you got to have a change of mind so that you'll know what you should and should not do. And then, of course, how to do it, how to put it into operation. I was thinking when we were talking about us prospering, how you can be so honest and yet so wrong as a $9 bill. I remember when I used to have to fly on commercial airlines years ago, started traveling, going around preaching. And they had first class, and then they had coach. I never could see a reason why spending all that money to fly first class when you could ride in coach, and actually coach gets on the ground before first class does.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
The wheels come down under coach, not first class.
And then first class
then
comes
first
down.
Class. And I couldn't understand. I said, I got to take that money and do something else with it. So I was still dealing with that poverty thing.
Yeah.
And I never will forget. I went to Washington, D.C. I was a speaker at a Full Gospel Businessmen's Convention. At the end of the convention, one of the people were responsible for taking us back to the airport. I already had my ticket and all that stuff, riding coach. I went to Dulles and got there, and they said, well, your ticket is no longer valid. Your ticket has been changed. And, boy, our guy's getting ready to go through the roof. He said, but you've been upgraded to first class. To this day, I don't know who did it. But I got into first class. I was on a DC-10, big, fat, wide-body bird. Mm-hmm. Got in that first class, and I said, it's a big difference. And then it dawned on me, if I spend all my time, most everybody rides in the coach or economy, which is fine, but only a handful of folk get to ride in first class. But let me ask the question, I wonder, does God love or is he concerned about the people that ride in first class as much as he is with those that ride in coach?
Yeah.
If so, who's going to reach him? You think you're going to come up from your economy class and convince somebody in first class that your God will supply all your needs? You've got to be where they are to be able to show them, hey, this is God, and you can be in first class and still be first class in the kingdom of God. That was a great lesson to me. And ever since that time, I don't ride or fly any other way than first class.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's not about first class for first class. It's about I represent the kingdom. I represent the king. I mean, if we got a president, they got millions and millions of dollars, Air Faith One, helicopters, all that kind of, what would you think of the guy coming to the city to visit this Fort Worth, Dallas area, riding in a Piper Cub? What would we think about him and the power behind him, if that's the best he could do? And people don't think about that. But people look at our lives, and when they see us poor, see us whining, begging and all that, they figure that's our God.
Now, Fred, it would be different if the price of that first class ticket was all the money there was.
That's different.
That'd be a different thing.
Different story.
But it's not.
It's not.
And you're not going to... You'll cause God more grief to the Holy Ghost and more problems when you think you've got to save his money for him, then you will, by believing God, sowing the seed, exercising your faith, and receiving what it takes to get in first class and minister there. Yeah. And being willing, if God said, I want you to ride coach today because I got a man back
That's
there.
Different.
Oh, I'm ready for that.
Absolutely.
I'm ready for that.
Absolutely.
But I don't have to ride back there.
That's right.
And I don't have to ride up there. I'm going to please my Father.
There it is.
When you get like that, he can trust you with,
there it
with
is.
His goods.
With the resources. That's it. That's it.
Ah. And this is the area. This is where the rub really takes place once you get past the fact that I am supposed to prosper. I'm supposed to prosper, and I'm supposed to be in good health, and I'm supposed to be strong in the Lord, and I'm supposed to walk in these things like this. But this is the stuff where Satan will really trip you up if you let your thinking get over there where religion's been thinking all this time.
True.
Anyway.
Exactly right.
And there's a lot of people that are not religious, had never been to church, and they still thinking like that too.
Exactly.
Just because of the way Mama and them taught it and we bought it, and that's just, you know, the way it was. But it's not like that.
No.
There's a difference in it. So, understand this. You are called of God. I don't care who you are. God has a master plan for your life. And that plan does not include your having to do without, and you're having to go on sick, and you're having to do all these things because God may get some kind of glory out of me being broke and sick and tired and dying young and all that. No, no, no. It is not God's plan. He has a call on your life. You may not be called as an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher. That'll make any difference. God got a call on your life. You're born into this world. You have a calling on your life. And it is available to you, and there's more than enough to fulfill that calling while you're in this earth and then go on to heaven. You ain't seen any big time prosperity until you get to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But you can have the best there is in this earth before you get it. My goodness. Been strong.
Amen.
We're out of time. Brother Fred and I'll be back in just a moment.
Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland in Australia for these exciting victory campaigns in 2009. Come to the Sydney Victory Campaign from the 21st to 23rd of May at the Sydney Entertainment Center, 35 Harbour Street, Haymarket, Sydney, New South Wales.
Awesome blessing. You come together in that unity and just to see the presence and see the face of Jesus.
Just to be within a stone's throw of where he's actually ministering, I'd recommend to anybody just come and check it out because it's a wonderful experience here.
Come to the Brisbane Victory Campaign from the 28th to 30th of May at the Brisbane Convention and Exhibition Centre at the corner of Merivale and Glen Elg Street, South Bank, Brisbane, Queensland.
Coming into an atmosphere where there's people believing by faith and hearing the word, that you're able to easily just come into that presence with Jesus.
To find out more, visit kcm.org or call 800-600-7395.
Now, what is at the heart of every living thing on the face of this earth? There is nothing here that didn't begin with a seed. Now, and that's God's way of doing things. He created it like this. And I had the Lord talk to me a number of years ago, and he said, I want you to make Friday offering day on every week of the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, and to use this scripture. Let him that is taught in the word communicate or respond to him that teaches in all good things. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. I mean good, bad, whatever it is. What you sow is what you reap. What you have today is a result of what you sowed yesterday. And the definition of insanity is to have the idea you can keep sowing the same thing and reap a different result. And that's the reason this financial system out there is coming apart, because that's been the heart of it all the time. Now, Father, we pray over this offering today in the name of Jesus. Reveal to your people, please, sir, what their part of the financial outreach is of Kenneth Copeland Ministries and this television broadcast. And we give you the praise and the thanksgiving for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, pray over this. And whatever the Lord says for you to do, that's what you need to be doing. Not what we say or somebody. You pray, the Lord will let you know exactly what you're supposed to do. Now, those of you that are outside the United States, some people say, well, that prosperity gospel, that's just that American gospel. No, Jesus wasn't born in the United States. He born in another part of the world. And the most powerful results of this message that I have ever seen in my 42 years of ministry was in the heart of Africa, mm-hmm. and still is today. And so your offering stays in your part of the world. It doesn't come to the United States if you live outside the United States. It stays in the area to support the area where you're watching the broadcast. Amen. Praise God. Obey God and you prosper. Now listen, let me tell you what you need to do. You need to go to church this weekend. You need to get involved in church. You need to not just to hear and receive from it, but to be a part of it. You need to start sowing into your church. The local church, most powerful thing on the face of the earth. When you're in California, hey, particularly when you're in the Los Angeles area, you need to go to Crenshaw Christian Center. I'll tell you, this is, you can, that's the church that Brother Fred and his lovely wife, Betty, founded a number of years ago, and it was just a little small thing when we met them. But today, 22,000 people, praise God. Young Fred Jr.'s there, and great things are happening in Crenshaw. We'll see you tomorrow, or next week. Until then, remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. To purchase this week's broadcasts on DVD or CD, or to order a copy of today's product online, visit our website at kcm.org. There you'll find a resource of teaching materials and study tools designed to help you grow in your walk with the Lord. The glory will shine in 2009. Come to the West Coast Believers Convention June 29th through July 4th at the Long Beach Convention Center in Long Beach, California. The Southwest Believers Convention is August 3rd to the 8th at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. Days of Refreshing, September 13th to 18th at Eagle Mountain International Church, right here at the Kenneth Copeland Ministries headquarters in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information, go to kcm.org or call 800-600-7395. Monday on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
There's not anything, Fred, that I've seen in 42 years of ministry now that will hurt a family any more than financial difficulties and can't pay the bills and then strife gets in there, and where there's strife, there's confusion, every evil work.